Island host.
Oh, cool.
We had Ray Taliaferro from KGO on.
Yeah, I saw that in the paper today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did a story about that.
They did a story.
In the Santa Cruz Sentinel and maybe the San Jose Mercury because it's owned by the same company. I'm
Perfect.
Not sure where they printed it.
Get some good press there. You had a nice little quote. I liked it.
But I had no idea that what was going to happen would, because it certainly wasn't planned. We had, you know, out of respect to Ray, who's pretty progressive left wing, you know, and pretty intense, we had decided to suspend, like we're suspending the personal question, we decided to suspend my mother's commentaries, most of which are politically pretty conservative.
Right, right.
Out of respect to Ray. And when he heard about that, he said, oh, don't do any, don't make any changes for me. I mean, and I said, seriously? And that would be terrible. And so I said, okay, here we go. So we played the,
Kay's commentary.
The commentary that was running then about Trump, Donald Trump, and how he's got some really good ideas and we should listen to those ideas and this and that. And Ray was sitting in the studio here across from me. And I saw steam coming out of his ears, I swear. When it was finished, he went ballistic. He exploded. And my mother happened to be sitting right next to him, because she likes to be friendly and everything. And
of course.
Her jaw dropped open, and so did mine. And I have received hundreds of emails since that broadcast.
About?
Well, that it was a wild and woolly, but many of them said to me, many of them were very critical of me for not, defending my mom and saying, hey, how dare you talk to my mom that way? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And,
What's your excuse?
Well, my excuse is mom can handle herself. I mean, better than I can. She doesn't need
Damn
any protection
straight, man.
From
she
me.
Can
but
handle
I will
herself.
Apologize to any of the listen audience that feels that.
Hey,
that
he asked for
that.
It. He okay. asked for it. He asked for the commentary. So.
Yeah, you're right. All righty. Well, let's. We got a great guest and a great program today. So stay tuned.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, KSCO.com world, and anybody else that I've left out, I apologize, but good morning to you all. Welcome to the Saturday special on the what's probably the last proud, independently owned and operated radio station in the country. One of the few, if not the last. We hope you'll stay tuned with us for the next 2 hours. I think you're going to be real happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
We've got what you're looking for.
KOFY, Coffee, TV20, San Francisco.
One of the best things about running your favorite radio station is that you get to meet and share people for whom you have great respect and admiration. We used to do entrepreneurial success stories on the Saturday special quite regularly, but oddly, not for some time. However, we landed a big one for this Saturday. James Gabbert, my broadcasting hero, the first guy to whom FM radio owes its great success with K101, and the innovative, independent broadcaster behind the success of Coffee TV20. Remember those wonderful IDs featuring Bay Area dogs? Dogs sitting on chairs. We got him live from KSCO North this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on When I Grow Up, I Want to Be Just Like Him Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, that's a promo that was originally produced about a year ago, and the only inaccuracy in that promo is that it's from KSCO North. We're at KSCO Central here, so now we're going to, we can't have Jim in the studio without having the special. when you answered my email, Jim, about whether you'd be on the Saturday special or whether you'd, you know, be a guest on the radio station here or something, first thing you said to me is, well, they haven't fired me at KGO yet because they haven't found me.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I don't still work there. I'm just not sure. I was going to go see if my card opens the garage door, and if it does, I'm still there. Because, you know, I was only working part-time in all these years at KGO.
Right.
So, by the way, too bad this isn't television. I brought my dog.
Well, you know, if in a month or so, it probably will be. Because I have come to the conclusion that in order to survive and thrive in the media business, you can't just be a radio station anymore. You got to be a media center. And you haven't been to KGO.
Do I hear streaming in the background here somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've been streaming for years. And
yeah,
years.
But I mean video streaming.
Hopefully, we're talking with the various companies to bring in some fiber optic cable, which I think we're going to need if we're going to do video streaming, right? I mean,
now I've got a question because when you played that jingle early, the Good Morning or whatever that thing is, that sounds like something out of the 50s or 60s.
It is.
Has it been around here all this time?
It's what came with the radio station.
Oh, that is so neat.
We have a reel with all these treasured jingles that were, I think they were produced by. Pams was the big
jingle producer. Yeah.
Out of Dallas, Texas. Yeah.
By the way, that's my dog, not me.
That's what an amazing. Now he's a Malamute.
Alaskan Malamute. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And his name is Axel Rose. He came with that name.
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's great. So, you have been. You've never been out of the media entirely, but. But your first big success, I think, was KPEN-FM that turned to K101 in the late 60s. Am I right?
Well, yeah. And prior to that, I worked part-time at KXRX, did voiceovers at the time. And then I worked in – when I was going to Stanford at weekends, I worked at KSPA in Santa Paula as a Spanish disc jockey and then KWKW in L.A. And in those days, I couldn't afford to fly, and it was before PSA was around. And so I'd have to drive down every weekend to Los Angeles from Stanford in my 52 Chevy.
Seriously?
Yeah, with Power Glide.
Oh, well, thank God you had that. And that's wild. So, and what age were you then?
When you're like a freshman in college, how old are you? 16, 17, something like that. I really don't remember.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to date myself, but this is my 54th year of being on Bay Area radio and TV. And the reason when I sold a television station and all the radio stations, I went to work for KGO just to keep the legend going.
Yeah, just to keep – yeah, just for – and you've been a fill-in or – is it fill-in or
fill-in.
Temporary?
Yeah,
fill-in
a fill-in
host.
Yeah.
On KGO, all different times of the day and night, right?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. There was I think the longest stint I had was, I think it was about 3-4 years ago. Gene Burns was somewhere, Tahiti or someplace, fell down and almost passed away. He was absent for over a month or something, and I did like the whole month for Gene.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to remember now. That was when they were getting ready to impeach Bill Clinton. It was that far back.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, speaking of Gene, I just talked with him literally just a few moments ago on the way into the radio station. I wanted to do an update. I called him about a week ago, and I said, Gene, we want to talk to you about maybe coming to KSCO and certainly, you know, doing a guest shot or two. And at the time, he said, Michael, I appreciate the offer, but I don't feel quite comfortable right now, you know, accepting it. But maybe in a week or so I might be.
Yeah,
so it's a week or so. So I called him, and he said he probably would here. So
now, you know, last Thursday they had the and it was funny because I was joking about this because when I heard about it, I was coming back from someplace.
You're talking
Dallas.
About the Occupy KGO?
And it's funny because I joked and I said when they were doing the Occupy out at Justin Herman Plaza in San Francisco and the one in San Jose and Oakland and everything, and I turned around and said, we should Occupy KGO. Next thing I know, it's on Facebook and their Twitter and all over.
So they picked up on what you
but
said.
But I saw what happened on Thursday, but it was like about 50 people. And it was
only 50?
Yeah, it wasn't very many. But over 3,000 people have signed a petition. To bring KGO back. I'll tell you what's happened. And as you're talking about KSCO and you're talking about KSCO being local, and it's interesting because Trish Robbins, who was executive producer at KGO, we're having lunch at the Saucedo Yacht Club with Don Sanchez from KGO TV, ABC 7.
Sure. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Trish turns around to me and says, you know, this is all this deregulation. It's all because of Ronald Reagan. And I said, hang on a minute. See, prior to this, and I just want to explain this to people listening, is when I started in radio, and we put KPEN, which is now Star 101, on the air, you were allowed one FM and one AM in a market.
Right, right.
Okay? And I think it was a total of six stations or seven stations, six or seven markets.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't own one in every market.
Right.
You were limited as what you could do. So
right.
Broadcasting overall was local. You take like KSCO in Santa Cruz, a local
sure.
station, KSPA Santa Paula, a local station. What happened in 1995, I think it was in 96, the FCC, Congress, came out with the Telecommunications Act, which deregulated radio to the point of where you can now own up to eight radio stations in a market, plus a television or two.
Yeah.
And this has created this massive concentration. For instance, in the Bay Area, the San Francisco stations, between Clear Channel, Cumulus, who just bought the ABC radio stations, they also own KNBR, KFOG, and what's the FM down here that's simulcast KFOG?
99.1?
No. It's someplace down here.
Okay, 94.5, I think.
One of those things. So anyway, with the concentration of media, you now have, I think I heard you make a, you did an editorial, the suits, bankers running the business, not broadcasters.
Yeah.
So as Cumulus bought KGO, they come in, they look at the bottom line, say, oh, look, we're paying all this talent, and yada, 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 yada. But they, if they looked at how much money KGO was making and has made over the years, it was a very illogical, dumb thing to do.
Right.
I may have a phone ringing saying I'm fired.
Oh, no, that was the dog. That was
okay.
The dog. Okay. So,
but and the way it was done to me was kind of rude because in the past,
how, you weren't called in with the rest of them. You were, how were?
I was out of town. I was in Dallas getting recurrent training for one of the jets I fly. But what happens today? Let us assume that I buy a radio station in San Francisco. But I'm the Lone Ranger. I've got one radio station.
Yeah.
Let's assume that I come up with this ultimate format and I play Chinese waltzes played backwards and everybody loves it. So I'm number one in the market.
Yeah.
Well, all Clear Channel has to do is eight stations is duplicate what I'm doing on one of their stations to divide my audience and kill me.
Yeah.
Plus, when they go out, you know, where radio, I don't know if everybody knows this, but it's primarily supported by advertisers. So they would go to my advertisers and say, look, I've got seven or eight different formats and I'll undercut Gabbert.
Sure.
So it's like you having an incredible drugstore or supermarket on a corner, then you end up with a Costco or Walmart and a Safeway on the other three corners. You don't stand a chance. Not a snowball's chance in hell.
So wait a minute. What I think I might be hearing you saying is that as a business move, maybe Cumulus didn't do the wrong thing, as I've said in my editorial. I called them pretty stupid, so maybe I'm the stupid one.
I think there's a possibility they did do the wrong thing, and I'll tell you why. Almost every market, they've taken KGO, primarily news. Ron Owens is still on because he has a long-term contract, and it would cost him bazillions to get rid of him, so the suit said, well, let's just keep him. So then they kept Pat Thurston, and they kept Carell, and they kept...
For the same reason?
No, they need it for the weekends to fill in.
Yeah.
Now, I have noticed in their news is it's different than KCBS. And in fact, it's more magazine-y.
Uh-huh.
However, KCBS has been their news station now for, what, 20, 30 years. And they've got 106.9 FM. They've got an FM. They've got 50,000 watts at 740. I don't think, with the exception of New York City, there's a market that has supported two news stations. And so KGO, which has been known, it's probably, I think, one of the last major market talk stations that had the only syndicated programming they had was Bob Brinker with Money
right,
Talk.
Right.
Everything else was local.
Right.
And you don't hear that anywhere.
Yeah.
That was a dog in the background, by the way.
So anyhow, all right, so what you're saying is that in all likelihood – you know, the news only audience is going to be split, and certainly the talk audience is going to be split. It already has been split.
Well, I don't know where it would say in San Francisco proper. I don't. It seems to me that now KGO had started to slide in the ratings. part of that was they were owned by ABC, which was owned by Disney. And there was a lot of strong support corporately to keep KGO the legend it was. It was the only radio station in America that for 30 consecutive years, there were four rating books a year by Arbitron. They were number one on four books for 30 years, and no radio station in America has ever done that.
Now,
it started to slide. Disney sold them to Citadel, which went Chapter 11, and they immediately increased the commercial load from 14 to 19. Commercials.
You're talking about minutes?
Minutes per hour?
Minutes. Okay.
So, all of a sudden, and then they brought this whiz-bang programmer in, and they put 2 minutes of news on the quarter hour combined with 7 minutes of commercials. So I'm in the middle of, say, we're talking, and you and I are going at it like your mother and Ray Taliaferro, if you will. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you have to stop for 7 minutes. Or 9 minutes, really.
Yeah.
And, my God, if you had Alzheimer's, you'd forget what you were talking about. and you lose the energy. I mean, it goes away.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that's what happened, and it
slid in the
ratings. Started to slide. Then they did that, and it slid worse.
Then it started back up again because they changed back to the old format, but they still kept the 19 minutes an hour of commercials. It's too much. The first thing I would do, I was talking to Mickey Lutkoff, who was the successful general manager of KGO. He resigned when this all started to happen. When they told him 19 minutes and all, Mickey said, no, it's going to kill the station. And so you had these suits, bean counters, investment bankers. What happened with broadcasting is it's now controlled by bankers.
Right. Yeah, exactly, who don't understand anything about broadcasting.
No.
But they should understand the bottom line because, as I understand it, the bottom line was still very black.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing is let's look at this. Radio... You see the same thing in corporate America, and I think that's partially why we have fallen back as not the leader anymore as we used to be, is big companies would come in and have a five-year plan or 10-year plan. We're going to lose money for the next year to establish and get this radio station or car factory or whatever going.
Right.
Today, you'd get fired for that because most of the directors want their bonus quarterly. And most businesses or large corporations in America today that I know are thinking quarter to quarter, not year to year.
All right. So I was thinking, and I've said this on the air a few times in the last couple of weeks, that in fact, some of the people who've sent me emails have said this is a ploy. It's a publicity stunt on the part of KGO. They're going to see the big, you know, rise up of protest and so forth. They're going to reverse themselves. And
don't think so, because if they got rid of the program director, they brought in a new the guy who is now leading the program department, and I went and met with him, is a newsman. And he was at KCBS.
Well, that's what everybody says. And so that being the case, I think KSCO is ripe to pick up, you know, partly, not just temporarily.
Yeah, but see, your problem is you cover the South Bay phenomenally well in Silicon Valley, but don't forget we've got the San Francisco,
sure,
the East Bay, and now Mickey has felt also that, and this is true in major markets, is FM had always been thought of as music, and all of a sudden, like in Washington, it's WMAL or TOP, I can't remember, one of the two, is number one in the market, and the news is FM.
Uh-huh.
And they've started, and now all of a sudden you have more FMs doing sports and all. FM has become radio.
Sure.
No longer just specialty. And today, if you want to reach a younger audience, I think you need an FM.
Right.
I've got people who are 30 years old and they say AM. How does that work?
Yeah.
How about pushing the button that says AM in the car?
And if they're below 30, they're going to say radio. What's that? I mean, they're listening to iPods.
Well, yeah, but see, Michael, here's what I think too is we grew up. You grew up in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah, and basically, the years that I really paid attention to radio and teenage and everything was the Bay Area. So way back to Kobe, 1550, then it was KEWB, which was 910,
which is now
1260, KYA, and then the big 610 came in. They were all top 40 stations. They were all competing with each other.
For young people.
Yeah, but whatever. You had four different companies out to become number one.
Right.
And so therefore they were innovative. They were exciting. And I honestly feel in my heart today as kids, we're all insecure, all of us. And we are almost like little lemmings, that if we can get a radio station that is in the place to be and do exciting things, I think it would succeed. Because the kids would talk about it, and it would move.
That's what we want to do. Now, do you think because we're AM, that's going to be impossible because kids won't find us? If we do good programming, that's quality programming for all ages, don't you think the word will get out, especially social media?
In 57, when we put an FM on the air, it was a 1,000-watt FM, 101.3, KPEN, almost nobody knew what FM was. I remember going to a class reunion at Stanford.
Yes.
And what do? I own an FM station. And I swear to God, well, what kind of gas do you sell?
Wow.
You know, because I said FM station, because they didn't know what it was.
Sure.
In those days, you had KPFA
but
as an independent.
But you did brilliant programming, and after a while, people knew what it was.
What we did was this. At that time in the market, even KGO was music. It was the big KGO.
Yeah.
And KNBR, which was KNBC, they all went, they're all trying to go top 40, all the big companies now. So AM was all of a sudden playing what mom and dad did not understand. You know, they're still back in the Rosemary Clooney or the, you know, the Eddie Fisher, Perry Como era.
Yeah.
And we came in with, and also in 57, there was a revolution of high fidelity. Me, being an engineer, built all of the equipment with the best audio I think any FM had in the country.
Yeah.
And we created an audio. You're right. And it became word of mouth. And we, with that little FM, before, because today it's 125,000 watts. It's the most powerful FM west of the Mississippi. But with that little 1,000-watt station, when we started, in the ratings at the time, when it was impossible, we came out number 5 against all the big guys. And we went after mom and dad because they couldn't understand Elvis and the Beatles.
Okay, Jim, you are not, just imagine for a minute, you're not you now. You're me, okay? And you've just been given this amazing gift by the ownership of KGO, okay, by killing the goose that laid the golden egg. What would you do with KSCO? And, you know, with the limitations.
The one thing you've done with KSCO is you are a local station, which is pretty rare. You know, so many stations today. Did you know that in San Francisco, like Clear Channel stations, They're basically voice tracked. The distance.
Of course, I know that.
They don't have to pay workman's comp. They don't have to pay all that stuff. You come in and you record everything, and a computer runs.
I know that, and I think the listeners know that.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know what? The complaint I have today is when I don't care if you're in Des Moines, Oshkosh, or San Francisco. It all sounds alike.
Yeah.
It really does.
Right.
This is where KSCO is. You're unique.
Right. We've always been that way, but what can we do to be uniquer?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Somehow you got to constantly create excitement. And and obviously there is more competition today than ever. I mean, you've got even Pandora.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of competition.
Sure.
So somehow you've got to do something. I call it, we did the same thing with our television station.
You were always innovative. You did the fun things on radio, the fun things on the original things on television that made people just love you.
See, here's what happened, MC. When we came in, when I bought Coffee TV, we still didn't have cable. Okay, and UHF was, you had to tune the little set that you couldn't go click, click, and you had to kind of hold your hands up in the air and wiggle a little loop antenna to make it work. Okay, that's when we started, 1980.
Right.
But I saw, this is the engineering in me. I saw cable coming, and at the time, Ted Turner, there were like 3 super stations that were up on satellite.
Yeah.
And I saw that turning into 100 channels, and I felt, we've got to take our television station and make it, I call it the Louis Vuitton or the Rolex syndrome. We've got to turn around and make the station the place for people to be. And we did that with marketing, you know, all promotions and things we did. And we made it fun.
Yeah.
And just like I did all the editorials, you know, most of the editorials on stations that used to be suits and ties, I'd do it in a polo shirt or jeans because I felt you're watching me probably on a couch with a beer in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk to you.
Right. That's great. We're talking with Jim Gabbert, media pioneer and mogul extraordinaire. We're proud to have him here at KSCO, your favorite radio station, or soon to be your favorite radio station, if you're new to us. We're talking about the past and present and future of media. And let's see, but before we go any further, I want to put in a holiday time pitch for my mom's book. It's been about a dozen or 13 years since Kay started doing commentaries on KSCO at my urging. She used to tell me what to say on my talk shows, and I said, Ma, say it yourself. And she said, I don't know that. I'm not a talk show host. Go in and record it as a commentary, just like a commercial or something. You get it just right, even if you have to do it 20 times. As it's turned out, she does it on one take just about all the time. And over the years, people have said, you really need to put Kay's commentaries into a book. So I'm going to say that Kay is here today, and as a special holiday promotion, we've come up with this idea. In fact, we've been selling this beautiful hardcover book that says, For KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling, for $25. We're still going to do that for $25 for the first book, but for every book that you buy after that, you can get it for $15. And they make great holiday gifts. And I have this book here. It's a beautiful hardcover book. Kay is here at the radio station. We'll be up until 12 noon. If you feel like coming down and picking up one or a supply of holiday books, Kay will be happy to sign them for you. We're going to continue with the KSCO Saturday special after I give out the phone numbers and switch to the commercial break here that Nikki, the pilot in command, is reminding me we better do if we want to continue to have a radio station at all for you to enjoy. So the phone number to call is 479-1080. If you want to join us on the air, that's in area 831. If you're out of the area, you'll have to dial the area code 831-479-1080. mz@ksco.com is the email address if you would like to participate in that manner in this program. So take it away, Nikki. We'll be back in just a few.
Have fun, do good, honor our youth. It's the North versus the South this Saturday, but everybody is going to win. Hello, Michael Olson here with an invitation for you to help celebrate the class of 2012 by attending the Lions Bowl High School All-Star Football Game, Saturday, 4 p.m. at Cabrillo College's Carl Connolly Stadium. The sun will shine when high school seniors from the North County meet the seniors from the South County for some no-holds-barred high school football. Enjoy performances from Harbor High and Monte Vista Christian cheerleaders, a halftime show put on by Pop Warner League youngsters, and a great snack bar put on by the Harbor High girls golf team. Get in on all the fun Saturday at 4 p.m. as the North meets the South in the Lions Bowl High School All-Star Football Game at Cabrillo College's Carl Connolly Stadium. And hey, everybody wins at the Lions Bowl because 100% of the proceeds go right back into the community.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring California head lettuce, 69 cents each, and large slicing tomatoes, 99 cents a pound. We also have 3-pound bag clementine tangerines, 2 for $6. Also Florida red grapefruit, 2 for $1. Don't forget the cranberries. We have 12-ounce bags from Wisconsin, 2 for $4. From Mexico, beautiful gray Italian squash, 59 cents a pound. In organics, we are featuring California organic navel oranges, 99 cents a pound, and Washington 3-pound bag of Cameo, Braeburn, or Granny Smith apples, 2 bags for $6. Also from Chile, organic blueberries, $3.99 for a 6-ounce package. For this special time of the year, we have all your specialty produce items on display. So come check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and slow. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
We've all heard the term baby boomer referring to those born from 1946 to 1964. There are an estimated 80 million baby boomers, with the first wave hitting the Social Security and Medicare systems in recent years, with more to follow. Many healthcare experts are predicting epidemics of Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer among this group. However, these impending epidemics can be averted, as there is a new group emerging. This group we call the baby bloomers, because despite their chronological age, they are still physically fit, active, working, and playing. They've heard Dr. Wallach's message regarding diet, lifestyle, and nutritional supplementation. So while many around them diminish in health and vitality, they are blossoming and blooming into vibrant, healthy, on-the-go people. Wouldn't you rather be a longevity baby bloomer? For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Welcome to back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special, and the reason we call it Saturday Special is because we tend to have special guests. Today is no exception, and I am so sad that the first caller we were going to put on was a young listener from Salinas. I love young listeners to talk radio, but we got our phone lines are pretty much jammed already. So let's go to the person who I've got to turn my Jim's. Thank you, Jim. Jim pointed out that his microphone is not on. I need to be a better engineer here. So let's go to Doug in Santa Cruz. Doug, welcome to KSCO. You are on the air.
Good morning, Michael, and hello, Jim.
Hello, Doug.
Jim, you're one of the people who made KGO unique. Your ability to work with Gene Burns to fly people from the Leukemia Curathon over to Europe to dine around there, I just imagine to myself what a wonderful experience that must have been for people who were generous enough to contribute to the Leukemia Curathon to be able to fly on your jet that you were flying over to these wonderful places and be entertained by Gene Burns and his wonderful stories and his knowledge of food and wine. It must have really been something.
Well, do you know what, Doug? It was like the trip to Europe, because over the years that I donated and flew people places, we went to all kinds of places, and we raised, I think Gene and I and that whole thing, it was pretty close to almost $1 million over the years. And you know, the neat thing about that was 100% of that money went to leukemia research. And normally, I was co-chair of the United Way back in, I think, 85, 86 for the Bay Area. And I found out that not so much of that money goes to where it goes to the charities. In other words, they have a high overhead. Leukemia, as I recall, it was like 5 cents went to operations and 95 cents went to research. And you know, it's paid off a lot. They found recently all of these new cures and everything for Hodgkin's leukemia and all. So, yeah, you know, it was something that I could have just written a check, but it was fun, exciting, and it was a neat thing to do. And I'm really glad we did do it. And I want to thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah. Well, if you could put your creative entrepreneur's hat on for just a moment, do you think there's any chance that a media mogul like yourself and a media mogul like Michael there and a media mogul like Mickey Luckoff could get their thoughts together and maybe come up with a way to put the radio host back on the air?
Well, you know something, that's a lot of moguls getting together.
Yeah, really. I don't deserve that moniker at
no,
all.
No, but Michael, the one thing that is interesting is we all also have egos, and I'm not sure all three of us in the room at once can reach a consensus. We'd almost be like Obama in Congress.
I would bow to yours any day, Jim.
But anyway, I don't think this is over at all, Doug, because let's assume that and time will tell. Let's assume the ratings really take a nosedive. Now, what do they do?
Yeah, There's a pregnant pause.
That was going to be another question I was going to ask.
Why was there a pregnant pause? I'm not very sharp. I should have said tune to KSCO.
But that's what they should do now.
But my point. And if they can't get us in the North Bay, then they can listen on the internet, which everybody's doing with smartphones every day anyhow.
That's also true. Anyway, go ahead, Doug. You were going to say something.
That was going to be my next question was to ask you to transport yourself into the future to like. June 30th, 2012, and then try to imagine whether Cumulus made a good decision or a bad decision based on what you're seeing at that point, and what should be done, from that standpoint.
You know, it's really hard to say because at the moment, while I hate what happened, it's kind of a different way of approaching news, and it's more magazine-y than, say, like a KCBS. And so I am not sure. One thing, Michael, I like about at KGO, I was never allowed to mention call letters of any radio station.
Uh-huh.
I was not. And they also own KSFO, and if I even said KSFO, they'd come and slap my hands.
That's the reason why we should mention them on this station.
Okay.
I mean, just to be different.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyhow, hey Doug, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday Special. We appreciate our next caller will be Andrew in Pacific Grove. Andrew, welcome to the Saturday Special with Jim Gabbert and MZ. You're on the air.
Good morning. It's great to have Jim Gabbert on the radio again.
Hey, would you get off that speakerphone, please? It'd be great. I hear you a lot better.
Yes. Okay. Gene Burns is going to 9:10, I heard. This morning I read on Rich Lieberman's site.
Well, I talked with him he's dunning around with Gene is going to be there, and they're talking about, another time slot, but we'll see what happens, so.
Yeah. And actually, 910 is not a bad signal. It's the old KLX, and then it was KEWB, and it's been around for a long time.
Sure.
Now, I also read that Luckoff is working on establishing another radio station, possibly on 860. Have you heard anything about that, Jim?
Actually, I've been consulting him on all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, so what's going
on? Can't say. It's all premature.
I see.
See, 860 has a problem. That's the old KTRB that was in Modesto. And
Michael.
Yeah.
This question's for you. You say you want KSCO to be local, and I'm all for that. Why do you have Rush Limbaugh on in the morning? I mean, that's
what a lot of people are telling me. Well, here's the tradition. The answer is up until now is traditionally.
Right.
Rush has been the answer is anchor tenant. Okay, in real
right.
I'm from a real estate background, so in real estate we talk about the need for anchor tenants in a commercial property, for example.
Right.
So Rush has been our anchor tenant for all these years, and I understand what you're saying. So our job has been to use Rush to be our anchor tenant, and then do the best we can with our other day parts to recycle Rush's audience. And so that's the way it is. Now, who knows about the future?
Now, this is one thing I think KGO made a mistake also when Citadel owned it. The KGO had always been, I could be a liberal Republican or a conservative Democrat. In other words, leave the social issues out. We've got much bigger problems, deficits, too much government spending, and so forth. At KGO, I was more of a centrist and more of a balance using common sense. Then all of a sudden, they got this Stacey, somebody who's still on the weekends, who is so left and illogically so, as is Pat Thurston. Then on top of that, I mean, the station swung so far left.
Well, and they had Ray. Is he not?
Well, he's on all night. So.
Oh, okay. So.
Okay. And he's been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see with KSCO is more of a call-in show. I mean, there's a lot of different opinions in Monterey, in Santa Cruz area, in southern Santa Clara County. It would be great if you could get back to, or if you could get to a more of a call-in talk show. I mean, I was listening to the Costa Report, and it was very interesting, but you can't call in. You can't call into Rush Limbaugh's show. You can call into Corey Gold. You can call into
What's left into Charlie and to
here comes the problem now, and I'll defend MZ on this, is the fact that what you're talking about here, at the same time, you're in radio is advertiser supported, and you start bringing more and more people, overhead goes up, and it's, you know, is it cost effective? Is he going to be able to make payroll? And it becomes a problem, because Rush comes in, doesn't cost you a lot of money or anything, does it?
Well, it costs,
but it's not a lot.
A good amount. It's.
You know what? It's a monologue. Rush Limbaugh is a monologue. You can't call in, even with a consenting opinion. You cannot call in. You can't call in.
Andrew, that's just plain wrong. I'm sorry. All due respect. The problem is, Rush, it's hard to get in. It's not that you can't call in. I've heard people say for years that Rush only lets people on who agree with him. That's BS. That's total BS.
Really?
In fact, he bends over backwards to give intelligent opposing callers more time than anybody else.
You know what, MZ? We all do that, like at KGO. I don't want everyone to agree with me.
It's boring radio.
I know, and I love kicking ant hills, and of course the little ants scurry around, and the phones light up.
Yeah.
And then you have balance. But I agree. Yeah. Now, you asked me about that, and ultimately, if I owned KSCO, I would do as much local live talk as I possibly could.
Precisely. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Would you axe Rush right now?
No.
Yes.
No, he's your anchor tenant. I'd build it around that.
Yeah.
No, okay. Michael, I appreciate what you're doing. I really do. I am a listener now. I listen to Ron Owens, and then I switch to KSCO after the Owens show. So.
Well, what do we have to do to get you not even to listen to Ron, who probably won't be there more than a year anyhow?
You know, with what I've been reading on Lieberman's site, I may be switching over to a local talk show host. And if you can get rid of Rush and put in a decent talk show host, even Sunshine Billy guy.
Bill Wattenberg?
No. It's a different local guy.
Oh, you have a different
talking
Billy
about.
Guy? Oh.
Yeah. So, I know who you're talking about. Hey, listen, Andrew, thanks very much for your call. We got to get to a bunch of other callers here. We appreciate it. Here's Greg in Santa Clara. Greg, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I remember listening to Coffee and watching Coffee when I was a kid, so it's great to have Jim there with you.
You're making me feel old.
Well, I guess I'm old, too.
Okay.
But I didn't even know KSCO existed until this thing happened with KGO.
Amen.
That's why
we're so happy with the suits.
Yeah, actually, I can see why you would be. I'm happy to have discovered.
Everybody else is upset with the suits, but I'm happy.
Do you know something? In all the years when I owned K101, and then I at the end I had KDIA, Coffee 1050, 98.9, and the TV station, and I, Jim Gabbert, kept a suit in a closet
in case you need
I had to go out. Yeah, but it was always jeans and then T-shirt and polo shirt. And it used to freak people out.
That's great. Well, Greg, happy you discovered us. Do you like what you hear?
Yeah, I loved that debate, really battle between your mother and Ray. That was excellent radio.
By the way, if for anybody who wants to hear that, just go to KSCO.com. It's right there in a prominent banner. Click to download. Hour number two is the one with my mom in it. Hour number one is okay, but hour number two is epic radio, believe me. So
I believe it.
Okay.
I guess my question is it possible or is there any effort to overturn that the act that was passed in 1995 or 1996? More public radio.
You know something? You bring up a very good point here, because from a strategic standpoint, I think Cumulus made a major mistake, because all of a sudden now the FCC is getting swamped. They're starting. There's enough. Let me put this. If enough people right now started writing their Congress people, you have an election coming up in 2012, and every congressperson runs for, you know, it's a two-year term. And if people make enough stink about it, and I don't think there's any question that it has led to not the death of radio, but it certainly pushed it down, because the lack of localism, the lack of creativity, and the monopolistic, all they think about is bottom line.
Yeah. It's true. In 05, the FCC had a public hearing here in Monterey at the DoubleTree, and they were interested in getting public input on what could be done, what they could do to increase localism and diversity in broadcasting. And it's so simple. I got up and made a talk, and everybody applauded. You know, I've got it posted somewhere on the website. And all it said was, go back to the same rules, the ownership rules that were in effect. You know, when you were doing all your stuff in the Bay Area, Jim, and the first year that I got into business here in 1991, that was 1 a.m. and 1 f.m. was the absolute limit that, for a single broadcaster in a single market. A year or two later, it went to 2 and 2, and in 96, it went to 8 or
yeah,
essentially
well, there
no
was
limit.
A reason it went to 2 and 2.
Yeah.
And that was in 1980. Jimmy Carter at the time, and God, I can't think of his name right now. Charlie Ferris was chairman of the FCC.
Okay.
And there was a big push from the Jesse Jackson Group, the Rainbow Coalition, that there was not enough minority ownership of media.
Yeah.
And so they went out and found that they could squeeze in a lot more FM. So all of a sudden, a market like Santa Barbara, which is pretty small, you've got Ventura with an overflow, but all of a sudden they almost doubled the amount of stations. And it was the first time in history that bankruptcy hit radio. They just overpopulated. And the idea was, a concept was to increase minority ownership, which was a great idea.
Yeah.
But what happened was that the minorities who got the licenses immediately sold them to other companies. So as radio stations were going bankrupt, they said, well, why don't we let them have two radio stations in a market called duopoly?
Right.
And that's what led to that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then a few years later, it was 8 and 8, which is essentially no limit. I mean, the way I look at it.
Oh, there's a new proposal right now. If you own 8 stations, which is the limit, and you buy a station for a minority of any kind, the FCC will let you have more stations in the market. That's a proposal. It's on the table. It's not.
Uh-huh.
It will be voted on.
Interesting.
But and again, an answer to the question is, you know, the camel's nose is not in the tent. The camel's in the tent. How in the heck do you get the camel out of the tent? That's the problem. How do you back it off?
By switching to the 1 and 1.
Oh, but that's unfair. I spent $100 million for this station, $100 for that in the market, and you're going to take it away from me? I'm playing devil's advocate now.
Okay. Okay, well, divestiture, I think a lot of local people will step up to the plate and buy radio stations. Maybe you won't lose all – you probably will lose a lot of money because you overpaid.
Well, yeah. But the other problem with that is that these companies are so big now, like Clear Channel or CBS, that you know they're spending bazillions in lobbying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right, 479-1080 if you want to join us here on the Saturday special. It's special guest is Jim Gabbert from Coffee TV 20, K101, and all kinds of other broadcasts.
KGO. You know, I've worked at KGO for 12 years.
My gosh. And as far as you know, you're still working there. You're not positive.
They have. Nobody's told me anything.
Right. Okay.
I'm not sure after today the phone will ring.
Hey, Tony in San Jose, welcome to KSCO on the Saturday special with MZ and Jim.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. This is the first time I've called a talk show, so this has really got fired up and inspired, and I've never listened to KSCO. This is the first time, and I'm really impressed. I think talk radio is a niche that should be filled. I think there's a big audience for it. A lot of people that I talked to last night at a Christmas party were unaware that a lot of the people from KGO were on KSCO, at least, you know, temporarily. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it help you when you're on a powerhouse radio station so people can pick you up? I know they can pick you up on the internet, but being on a powerhouse radio station, get it out even further.
Yes.
Have you guys considered, because there's still some independent broadcasters out like KLIV in San Jose, KKIQ in Pleasanton. Have you thought of maybe making a talk network maybe locally here in
Yeah, I have, but we haven't really talked too much about that. What do you think about that idea?
Well, it's kind of hard, but I've noticed in L.A., see, like KKIQ in Livermore, which, by the way, I was the one who put it there. Originally, it was KBBM in Hayward.
It
caused interference to K101 when I owned
it. Because
so
you bought it to move the license?
I paid someone and gave it to someone because you couldn't own stations. And I myself, put the antenna up in the tower and everything else out in Livermore.
Oh, my God.
You know, just to get it out of – because it caused a lot of interference. However, in Los Angeles – see, those are stations – like KKIQ is called like a Class A FM. And a Class A was the worst type of FM. a C is the best. The FCC did it backwards.
Right.
And an A was to serve a 35-mile radius, theoretically, whereas a C could cover like 125 miles. And in L.A., some people have put together a bunch of these little class A's as kind of like a network, and covering the market that way. But the trouble is your different frequencies. Now, KLIV, for instance, is what, 1590?
Yeah,
1590. It's the old KSJO. And the problem with that is you can't hear it north, I think north of Palo Alto, you can't hear it. So, and you're right in the sense that you need a powerhouse. If you're going to dominate the market, you need a powerhouse or a series of stations to cover the entire market.
Yeah, that's what I told Mickey in an email I sent to him. I said, you're not going to find any station like KGO that blankets everything in the San Francisco Bay Area and in Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, the Monterey Bay Area.
See, KGO is unique in the fact that, first off, a lower frequency at 810, and the towers are off of the Dumbarton Bridge.
Right.
And AM goes through a ground wave.
Right.
And not getting too technical, but salt water is a great conductivity, and if your tower is right there over the salt water, you're going to have a hell of a signal.
Sure. So not only their dial position, their power input, but their physical location. They're actually closer to here than San Francisco.
It is the ultimate location.
Oh, they don't make it better. So that's a great stick, and they're never going to find a stick a single stick to get the coverage that KGO had. So that's
I could do it with 860.
Is 860?
You might be able,
Is 860 a clear channel station?
No, 860 originally KTRB was in Modesto, a 10,000 watt station. And they decided to move it to San Francisco, and it's kind of a convoluted right now. My understanding is they have two different antenna sites, one for day and one for day and one for night. And it was very poorly engineered the way they brought it in. 860 is a Mexican clear channel station. In other words, back in the 20s.
Now, you're not talking clear channel, the company clear channel.
No,
about a designation.
A designation. In other words, there would be no radio station on that frequency
that
within that,
that
country.
Yeah.
Okay. And 860 is Mexico City. However, when I owned 1050, I was able to negotiate with the Mexican government. So 1050 today is 50,000 watts day and 50,000 watts night.
Wow.
But I had to negotiate with the owner. The clear channel station, designated clear channel, was XEG in Monterrey, Mexico. So I did a deal with them and said, okay, you let me have 50 and I'll let you do this. And we made it work.
Mutually.
But you got to remember, my background's engineering.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Tony, I want to thank you. We got so many other callers we want to get. Please keep listening to KSU.
I will.
Even though I'm cutting you short, you're a great caller. Appreciate it, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go now to, Marianne in Santa Cruz. Let's bring Marianne up. Marianne, welcome to KSU. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. It's just such an intelligent conversation about the state of radio today. I'm really learning a lot and feel like a newbie, even though I've been listening to radio all my life.
How long have you been listening to us?
Oh, decades.
Okay, good.
So, but, you know, my go-to station at night, overnight, was KGO because of the John Rothman in particular and Bill Wattenberg, and I'm tickled that you have him here today.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that I am so blown away by the amount of people that are following this thing, that are talking about KSCO picking up everybody. I think the changes that you've made to the station recently, Michael, are really, really good. You're really changing in some very great ways and keeping up. I had a friend who just retired, and I bought him, a number of people at work bought him a Wi-Fi radio, because he's a real radiophile. But I feel like it's such an old-timers person type of thing. I'm in my 60s, and I think probably I'd love to know what the age of your callers are, and maybe you can get it by decade. But my question was, okay, we have a Wi-Fi radio at home ourselves. Is this happening?
We only have 15 seconds. We might have to hold you over until after the break here, because we got to prep for the news. So we'll do that. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's coming up on 11 a.m. Back with Kay's commentary and more from you right after this. Stay with us.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. The Senate today passed a nearly $1 trillion spending bill that'll keep the government running until next September. It passed the House yesterday. The bill includes spending cuts for the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA and freezes some aid to Pakistan. The bill now heads to President Obama for his signature. The Senate today also voted to extend the payroll tax cut, but just for 2 months. President Obama says he's glad.
At a time when so many Americans are working harder and harder just to keep up, the extra $1,000 or so that the average family would get from this tax cut makes a real difference when you're trying to buy groceries or pay the bills, make a mortgage, or make a repair.
The House is expected to vote on the two-month extension Monday. In Egypt, hundreds of protesters are battling security forces for a second day. The demonstrators are hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails while police are attacking with bottles and fire extinguishers. Journalist Mohamed Fidel Fahmy reports at least 9 people have been killed.
There has been funerals today, especially that one of the people who died, an Islamic scholar, a prominent Islamic scholar, who was not really involved in the fighting but was just a bystander. He was shot in the chest. There's 2 children in the age 14 and 16 that were also killed.
Egypt's prime minister is urging protesters to go home. The death toll from a tropical storm in the Philippines has now risen to 436, according to the Red Cross. Chairman Richard Gordon believes the government is overwhelmed.
They will try to put up a brave front and try to say, okay, we can handle this. But obviously, in a situation like this, we would have to reckon with the fact that we have to rebuild homes. We have to rebuild lives.
The college bowl season begins today. First up, the Temple Owls versus Wyoming in the New Mexico Bowl. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
It's 4th and goal, and they need a touchdown. So, Bill Curry of Boston, Massachusetts, you better go for it, because your wife wants that sapphire and diamond ring for Christmas, and you need to score more than a field goal. Also, could you quit leaving your wet towel on the floor? It's seriously annoying!
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Got some gorgeous sunny skies out there. It's nice and clear with a high of 68. We're just going to have some light winds today. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 38 with light winds. And on Sunday, sunny, high of 61 and light winds. Out on the Monterey Bay, the east winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming south this afternoon. Wind waves are going to be about 3 feet. And they're going to become less than 2 feet later this afternoon. West swell 3 to 5 feet at 16 seconds. And tonight out there, southwest winds to 10 knots, becoming east after midnight. Wind waves are going to be less than 2 feet and a west swell of 3 to 6 feet at 16 seconds. On Sunday, northeast winds, 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet with a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. And for current temperatures, let's see, I've got Watsonville at 50 degrees. It's 59 in Monterey, 49 in Salinas, and 59 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, I've got, let's see, there was a traffic collision on Rodeo Gulch Road and just north of Hidden Valley Road, and it looks like CHP's on the scene there. And there's 2 cars there, and one of them's in the ditch off the roadway. Also, a fatality was reported just east of Elkhorn Road, Monterey area. It looks like a white pickup's in the ditch there as well. CHP's on the scene, and the lanes are blocked as of still now, it looks like. It looks like road closure TBA. So I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated. You can keep me updated, too, on things that I haven't seen on the CHP page here by calling me at 475-1080. The official time is 11:05 and 38 seconds on this Saturday, December 17th. Up next, the second hour of this Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Okay, Nikki, thank you very much. What'd you say?
What's that?
It's not a bad.
It must be the.
You know
must,
what?
Must be the.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, yeah. Cool.
All right, what'd you say, Jim?
I said nothing.
Oh, okay. I thought. And the dog isn't here.
No,
Okay. All right, so.
We
normally will play the case commentary right now, but Jim pointed out that there is. We were finishing up. We need to finish up with Marianne in Santa Cruz.
Right so on.
Marianne, you're on the air with us. We want to give
Thank you,
you. Let you continue your.
Okay. Okay. One comment and one question. I'll be very brief. The Ray Show was hilarious with you, Mom. You need to do a promo, Michael, with you just going, Mom, when she was responding to him. The second, my question is, what is happening with the state of radio around the world? Do you have any idea?
I would say more so it's totally what's happened in the United States is totally different. In Europe, for instance, now the Soviet Union, after it collapsed and became Russia, they privatized radio because so many of the Eastern Bloc countries' radio stations were owned by the government and controlled by the government that they have privatized a lot of it. And it's creating a lot of excitement, a lot of different countries. And see, like, for instance, in England, you only had the BBC, so you had the pirate stations pirate ships outside with top 40 rock and roll and all because at the time the government banned it from the BBC. And so overall, radio is it's doing very well in most countries. And it definitely, in terms of time and all, it is being shared with the Internet.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks so much, gentlemen. I really, really appreciate
Keep
the
listening.
Show today.
Keep listening, Marianne.
Will do.
Okay, I'll take care. There was Marianne in Santa Cruz. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to join us here on the Saturday special with Jim Gabbert and MZ, that's me. And right now, we're going to get back to the format here. There is a brand new, but actually it's a, I think it's a, it's an encore case commentary. So here it is.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Dear listeners, this commentary is in my book. Philosophically, we humans grasp at inventing illogical expressions when we are uncomfortable with our own prejudices. Case in point, let us examine the expression occupy land, which came into vogue only after the State of Israel was legally created in around 1948. The British who owned the territory offered land also to the Arabs. They declined and continue to decline. They only want Israel annihilated. Immediately after Israel became a state, five Arab countries in the Middle East declared war on the new Jewish state. They were all defeated in a matter of days by the little country. That is when the expression occupied came into being. Israel, the victor, was and is the true owner of the conquered land, but the U.S. government calls that land occupied. Is that supposed to mean that the aggressors who Israel conquered still own that land? Another opposite case in point, during the Mexican-American War in about 1846 through 1848, the U.S. invaded a part of Mexico known as Texas, which Mexico had received from Spain along with other land in the American Southwest. The U.S. won the war, took Texas and the other states in the American Southwest, and probably California. It is said that Mexico was given a token $500 million for all that land. The Mexicans have been resentful and angry since then, and rightfully so. They want their land back, but that will never happen. Shouldn't that conquered Mexican land also be considered occupied land? Let's fast forward to the present situation. Jordan, a country which owned half of Jerusalem in 1948, wanted all of Jerusalem shortly thereafter, so she declared war on Israel. She lost. So now Israel owns that territory. The U.S. maintains it is occupied land, and Obama forbids Israel to build houses there. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has told Obama he cannot dictate to Israel about Israeli land, and therein lies the stalemate between our two democracies. I say kudos to Netanyahu for not allowing the U.S. to bully Israel. Meanwhile, the despicable, dishonest U.S. media picks and chooses what it wants to expose and never mentions that Israel won all that land honestly. It's all unfair, unjust, untrue, and Israel stands totally on its own. Please, someone, explain the nonsensical expression occupied land or occupied territory, which is only used for land won fair and square by Israel after it is attacked. It's an honest issue our government refuses to recognize, confront, and acknowledge. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. We have Jim Gabbard as our guest here in the studio. We're talking about media, past, future, and present. Join us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio 5.
I've received an interesting email with some audio from Carell, involving Carell here that we're going to play in just a little bit. We'll do a tease, but we're going to go back to the phone lines before we do that, and we're going to talk to John and Carmel, and Suzette in Monterey. Any others want to call us, feel free. We got a few open lines at 479-1080 in area 831, or you can shoot an email to mz@ksco.com. But let's go to who has been waiting the longest. That would be Ron in Carmel. Hey, Ron, thanks for waiting. You're on KSCO.
Ron, are you still there?
There you are.
I'm here.
Okay.
I was at the FCC hearings or the comments also in Monterey, and I just wanted to remind everybody that there were more people in line than they were able to take. When the thing ended, I wasn't able to give my comment, and there were several people in line with me at that point.
Well, give it now. More people are listening.
Well, that had to do with the number of radio stations that they were going to allow a corporation to own. But what I'm calling about today, last week I called you and I said you're going to be presented with a lot of opportunities because of what's happened to KGO. Watch what you spend.
Yeah.
This week I say you're still going to be presented with a lot of opportunities because of KGO's actions. If you're considering expanding expanding, watch how far you expand so that unlike the Roman Empire, you don't implode.
John, I think you called last week and I was abrupt with you and I apologize for
no,
that.
No, no, you weren't. Huh? That must have been somebody else. Oh. I'm CPA in Carmel.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, the guy said last week that I was correct, that you should watch what you spend or what, watch what it costs you for items that are going to be offered to you.
Sure.
Because of this. Okay? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you know something, Michael, which I don't think anybody knows or was never mentioned at all, but from 1970 to 1980, we formed an organization called the National Radio Broadcasters Association. We represented radio stations only because the National Association of Broadcasters was controlled by the big three television networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. I was president of NRBA for 12 years, and my goal... In 1975, Ed Markey, who was still in the House and was in the Communications Subcommittee, they decided that they were going to look at the 1934 Telecommunications Act. I was appointed chairman of the Advisory Committee to the Communications Subcommittee, and Barry Goldwater was in the Senate. And at that time, I was one of the strongest advocates in the country for deregulation. But my concept of deregulation, we had three-year licenses, we had uncertainty, we had government telling us what we had to do in terms of, like, in a major urban area, you had to run agriculture, you had to run religion, you had to do all of that. That was my concept of deregulation. And when I look back in hindsight, maybe I oversold deregulation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all of a sudden, today... It is so deregulated because a broadcast licensee is a public trustee. The public do not own the airwaves. That's one thing that is a misconception. The airwaves, and if you go back and look at the original charter of the 1934 Communications Act, which formed the Federal Communications Commission, it was ownership of the airwaves is not determined. But you are a public trustee, and you are to operate in the public interest, the public necessity, and the public convenience.
Right.
Now, where does Cumulus fit in on that one?
They don't. Clearly.
They don't. Exactly.
Clearly. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Our next caller will be Suzette in Monterey. Suzette, welcome to the KSCO special with MZ and Jim.
Hi, Jim. Hi, MZ.
Hey.
Thanks. Hi. I just want to comment on the fact that I know in the print and television media that over 50 separate companies have been absorbed by five big mega corporations, giving us, you know, this kind of homogenized news. I mean, I think John Stewart, I'm sure everyone, or hopefully you have, saw the little skit that he did on Ron Paul after Ron Paul won the AIM, or had that technical win for the AIM straw poll and was completely ignored by the media. And I bring that up because simply that kind of information blackout in the mainstream media or the corporate media is so common. So I think most people get that, or I hope they do. And my guess is that the numbers of people actually watching things like the CBS Evening News is dropping off dramatically. So that brings us to radio. Hasn't radio suffered that same kind of hostile takeover, if you will, by these big mega corporations that really control the kind of information that is shared? And I think, having said that, I would just add in, I think this is where the internet really comes in, as the new free press, if you will, and free sound, because you can listen to many good radiations on the internet. But that too is, they're attempting to take that away from us. And by they, I mean the lobbyists in Washington, the people that don't want us to have free speech. And I think that's, you know, this, it's very important for people to be aware of that and to kind of push back, because the more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
So,
Suzette, you've brought here so many different things at once, and I'd like to address them. And you know, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but first off, it's not just broadcasting or radio with the big corporations. How many drug stores do we have today? CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, and that's about it in the whole country. What happened to antitrust? What happened to diversity and competition? Now, in radio, for instance, and there's no question, NBC is owned by General Electric and Comcast has moved in on it. But if you look at and how we play the political scene, if you watch Fox, for instance, it leans to the right. But MSNBC leans way to the left. And with GE owning NBC, and GE, for instance, is making bazillions off of wind, you know, alternative energy sources. They're making bazillions off of, like, healthcare. You can't expect CNBC or MSNBC or NBC to be too critical of what's going on. It won't. There's no question there is a bias in it. But on the other side, as with the Internet, here comes the danger of that. In the past, back in the days of when CBS was the Tiffany Network and they had Edward Murrow and they had journalistic integrity, Morley Safer and all of these people, that they had integrity to the fact that you would not run a story without three verified sources. You wouldn't run it. Now, today, with your 24-hour news stations, you run it and kind of speculate. Yeah, and when you go to the Internet...
Hope it's legit.
Yeah, when you go to the Internet, the problem with that is you don't know who wrote the blog. So let's say I'm a super dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, absolutely dyed-in-the-wool, and somebody writes an article, which may not be true, but it's praising Democrats and ripping Republicans apart. It may not be true, but because of my belief, it becomes gospel truth. That's one of the dangers of the Internet, is just because it's in writing on the screen, just because it's there, doesn't mean it's real.
Yeah, okay.
Well, may I say something?
Sure.
What I'm thinking about more with the Internet isn't necessarily somebody putting up a blog, but for instance, if, you know, I can go to the Internet and watch RT.com and see how they're looking at the news, or I can go anywhere really in the world and get a good, what I consider to be, you know, a fairly different view on the news. Or, for instance, like Prison Planet or InfoWars, Alex Jones's media.
I don't know if you know about that, Jim. Are you familiar with InfoWars?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, different subject, but yeah, go ahead, Suzette.
I just think that there are a lot of people out there. I'm thinking of, you know, like Pro Libertate with William Grigg. There are people that actually do have verifiable, that are journalists, and the last place they have to really... spread the word is on the Internet. And if we have, and it's up to the consumer to decide whether they believe it or not, or whether they want to look further into it or not. I don't think we can protect people from information. And I don't think it's really, you know, it's really up to the individual to determine whether something is real or not by the further investigation that they do.
And I think that's what everybody is able to do now with the Internet. Thank you so much for your call. We got to move on to John in Carmel. That was Suzette in Monterey. Hey, John, I think you're the guy I was abrupt with. Am I right?
No, you've never been abrupt with me, Michael.
I'm not gonna stop talking about my being abrupt. This is easy, but you're on the air, John.
Would it make you feel better if I said okay?
No, make me feel worse. You know, so go ahead. Sorry.
You know, you haven't even mentioned the loss of KBOC in Carmel, and that was revived three times. And you know, your KGO, I think the problem is that it could not make money because of people like Ray. I used to listen to him, and he is such a radical person, and the other gentleman you had on the other day, I thought it was a great program.
I'm not privy to KGO's books.
I can tell you it has been a cash cow.
That's what I would think.
Well, why would they stop it?
Because I don't know. I consider it stupid. You know, just because you work for a big broadcast company like Cumulus doesn't mean you're the sharpest knife in the drawer.
That's true. And by the way, I loved your coffee. When I was on layovers, Oakland, San Jose, and San Francisco, I'd watch it. I thought it was a great programming. I would assume, like, I know Michael struggles with the... that he has on board.
With the what? Reason, there was a dropout there. I struggle with what did you say?
The liberal programming. I don't think they get financing or sponsors.
I'm the sponsor.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't hate me quite as much as they used to because I'm the sponsor.
Well, I think it's, you know, I like to listen. I like to hear what other people have to think, you know, and I think that's what makes you guys so good. You know, I used to listen at night to Keo, and I think Glenn Tillum was on there. Well, I thought he was fascinating. Again, I think that the liberals just don't support their own networks. You know?
Well, no doubt, but John, excuse me for interrupting, because the one thing that made KGO great was the fact that it did not have a political agenda. You take like 910 was very right wing. They had Michael Savage at one time, and they, you know, just
that guy's terrible.
Yeah, and the thing is, KGO had in the 12 years I worked there, nobody ever told me what to say. How to say nothing ever. It was, oh, that was a good program, and that's it. And that's what I think what made it great. You had Ray was obviously left, and then like Bill Wattenberg is kind of right. I'm kind of a centrist. Gene originally was a libertarian, and then he started shifting over to the left for some whatever reason. But the station was whoever was on at the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, I concur. You know, I'm still faithful to 1080, but again, it appears from what I see on other programming in other places in the country that the liberals just don't support it. Maybe the time slots of those liberals were there, and if it was a cash cow, I don't understand why management would stop that.
Because probably they looked at like Ron Owens' contract and his salary, and it's probably more than the guy in the suit's making, and there's a little bit of envy and jealousy there. And they look and say, well, look what we're paying these people. Not, gosh, how much money are they bringing in? I mean, Michael, I'd give you $5 million a year if you brought in 10. I mean, obviously, sure. Okay. Say, you're giving him $5 million? Well, he's putting $5 million in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, after
well,
cost.
Well, you know, so. Again, you can't fix stupid management, and, you know, it's the way it is. But, again, I think your programming at Coffee was great, and I enjoyed KGO. And I think you brought up some great programming last week with Ray. You know, I wanted to kick my radio, but I didn't. but, you know, controversy is good.
Again, if you want to hear that, it's at our website, ksco.com,
you know,
right at the homepage.
Michael,
so.
I haven't heard it yet, and I've got to, because I've heard about it, and you emailed it to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to stop and listen.
Wait to hear Michael's mom on that. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, I've got
the best of the holidays.
Okay, thank you, John.
Best of the holidays to you all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, got this email. Let's just play it. Let's just play this and see what happens here.
We believe that if you are the victim, alleged victim of a crime, that A, we're going to believe you because we are decent human beings, are we not? Isn't that why we have a justice system? Are we not decent human beings? And would decent human beings look at an accuser, a rape victim, and immediately think she's lying? Well, in today's world, they do. Especially when there's a rich black athlete. And by the way, black men, please don't go into entertainment or to sports. It's killing your race. I mean, look at Bobby Brown. Look at this Williams thing that's going on. You know, he shot his chauffeur. Magic Johnson, AIDS. Kobe, rape. I mean, I could keep going on. But sports and entertainment and black men don't mix. Please, become engineers. Become CEOs. Stay away from sports and music. It's just not good for you. Anyway, we go backwards here. The judge says, no, I'm going to take her. I'm going to listen to her past.
Well, you recognize that voice.
It's Carell.
Okay. And I didn't even preview this, you know, which is an interesting thing that...
You know something is he... You know, he's entertaining, which is okay.
Sort of like Ray, right?
But he's stupid. I mean, I remember when Raul Castro took over from Fidel Castro, and Raul was known as a communist. A communist is left wing, about as left as you could get. And Carell comes on and says, this man is righter than Attila the Hun. And the things he says are not factual. They're emotional.
and they're stupid.
But he's entertaining. And now, I think he denigrated the image of KGO.
Did I just denigrate the image of KSCO by playing that clip?
No, because you let me say what I felt.
Oh, okay, good. All righty. Yeah, and I understand he called Wattenberg homophobic or something.
I've heard that, where he's done that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean...
I don't even know where that came from.
I've gotten to know Bill, you know, in the last couple of weeks pretty well.
And you've known Bill for many years,
Prop
right? 8 was coming up, I don't remember Bill ever saying anything negative about it. When Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up, I don't remember Bill saying anything negative about it. I mean, that's emotional. See, Bill did not like Carell. Carell did not like Bill. Okay.
So, yeah. So.
I mean... Hate almost. I mean, you're talking not even civil dislike.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, here we go. Here it's KSCO. It's a Saturday special with MZ and special guest James Gabbert. We're talking media. If you want to join in the conversation here, give us a call 479-1080. That's in area 831, or send us an email if you'd like. That's MZ. At KSCO.com. Let's see who's online here. Robert in Lake Tahoe. Robert, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
I wanted to compliment you folks bringing on Bill Wattenberg and even Ray. I've listened to KGO for about 40 years, and I appreciate that, and I like the streaming. I'd like to make a couple of quick comments, Jim Gabbert, and then, well, I'll make them fast. Jim, what we're seeing up here, I own a large ISP based in the Reno, Tahoe, Minden, Gardnerville area.
That's Internet Service Provider Company, for those
right.
who don't know what ISP means.
Right. And what we're seeing is the death of television, per se, in the local market. What we're seeing is people going to Roku boxes, Apple TVs. I personally haven't watched commercial television in 5 years, and never will again. If it's available, it's on the internet, and there's no reason to use cable or dish or any of you can get high quality programming from around the world. So we see that happening up here. It started for economic reasons, but now people are going to voluntarily because they want to get from the censorship and the corporatism. We're seeing that. And then the last thing was, and you guys are not going to like this, but I'll say it because it's true. I put a comment on your blog about Bernie, one unspeakable one, and miss him.
On KGO's blog?
No, on yours.
On ours? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I said I don't agree with what he did. I don't advocate any of that, but I still think he was one of the best left-wing commentators in the country. I'm not saying I always agreed with him, but he was like Gore Vidal, always made you think. And
why wouldn't I like that, and why wouldn't Jim like that?
I don't. They didn't post my blog. I didn't insult anybody. So I'm going on the fact it was never posted.
Oh, and you know what? I'll tell you this is because you know I knew Bernie really well, and when he worked at KGO, and it was really unfortunate what happened. And you're right. Philosophically, I would disagree with him. Politically, I disagree with him. But at least the guy was intelligent.
Oh, I'll give him yes. I miss the discourse. I mean, I have a lot of excess bandwidth going out as Jim would know, inbound data is what goes to the clients. I have a huge amount of free outbound data, and so I'd give it to them just so that there's a place for the voice. But
well, we might need your services there, Robert, so please keep my email, MC at KSU.
Okay, you know one thing, Robert, that KGO did for a while when Lee Rogers was there before he moved over to KSFO is on Monday nights they'd have Lee and Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Left and right, and it was great radio. I mean, it was great, and you'd listen to them, and one would set a bear trap for the other one, and it was like Chicken Little walking into snap, gotcha, and it was fantastic radio because Lee was super, super intelligent right wing, and Bernie was super, super intelligent left wing, and it made great radio.
But just the last comment, like I said, we're really seeing a big shift to Internet radio, Internet-based news, and Internet-based video. I mean, not just Netflix. Roku is really becoming a force, R-O-K-U. It's huge. And we get people every day saying, I'm giving up on Dish, I'm giving up on UVerse, I'm giving up on here, it's Charter down there at the Comcast. and saying to hell with it and going basically just getting everything off of the internet. It's a big move, and I think
Robert, I agree with you, and I'm just minutes away from canceling my Dish network because I realize I never ever use it. I don't care to. I don't have time. It's
just but you know something else that I look at me because I use DirecTV and now interesting because you have cable television, then you have of course over the air television.
Right.
It's so rare, except for Diane Sawyer. I just, you know, and maybe a little bit of news on ABC 7. And otherwise, I never watch anything on over-the-air television. It's all cable or specialized something. And it's interesting. I could not have sold Coffee TV at a better time.
No, you're sure. Right. Trust me.
That was 98, was it?
1998.
Uh-huh.
But we're seeing people are complaining about right-wing and left-wing propaganda. People are looking for facts. And so what they're doing is they're hunting and pecking and searching for that news, wherever it is in the world. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. I guess it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. As a matter of fact, it started for us 5 years ago when we moved up to Tahoe from down below. And I told my wife, I said, "Do you want to put on a Dish?" And we had already had the first Apple TVs. And she goes, "Why?"
Let me ask you this on the internet because I have not done it yet. Can you get a full 1080 HD or is that possible?
Sure.
Yeah, it is. Although, Frank,
it uses up a lot of bandwidth, doesn't it?
Yes. But the new codecs are quite good, and frankly, we have a 50-inch plasma up here. You know, an older one, old NEC that's a 720. Frankly, it looks so good on Apple TV that I have no desire. I mean, when it breaks, I'll get one, but it's not like, oh, gee, you have to have it because it looks fabulous as it is.
And speaking of that, you talk about technology. You know what, Michael? For instance, in 1999, I bought a 50-inch, it was a Panasonic, $18,000.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Costco today and buy that same one for about $1,000 or $1,500. It's amazing how it's changed.
For sure. Hey, Robert, thanks very much for calling Saturday Special. Are you a new listener to KSCO?
When KGO died, I found you guys, and I'm grateful. As a matter of fact, I love it. It reminds me of 1950s, 1960s local radio. We're here and we're community based. I love it. I think it's fabulous.
And we have some pretty worldly hosts.
You've got one thing really wrong.
What?
Your transmitter is all solid state and it's not a bunch of glowing red vacuum tubes.
Oh, okay. Well, we do have one of those that I have to show you still, Jim. Okay. All right. Hey, Robert, please send me an email. I'd like to get to, you know, want to know. I know you're at Lake Tahoe, but appreciate your call. Okay.
Hey, love you guys. Take care.
Okay, here bye-bye. Comes our next caller. Our next caller will be Paul on the road. Hi, Paul on the road. Are you on the air? I think.
I am on the road, but now that I got you, I'm going to pull over. Great show. Gosh, you're covering a lot of ground today. This is kind of, since it's turning into kind of a free for all. I want to bring up, which I hope is not a totally sore subject. If it is, just hang up on me. But since you and your guests seem to be very, very knowledgeable on, you know, a lot of the different shows and hosts and the state of the whole AM talk industry these days, what about the one guy that is, like, never, ever, ever mentioned on anyone else's show? And that is the third largest AM talk radio show there is, which is also number two on the Internet talk show circuit today. And, of course, I'm talking about the Savage Nation.
I just talked about him a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
did? I missed that. Oh, jeez.
We talk about Savage a lot.
Yeah, and you know, Michael lives in the Bay Area, and I don't know if you know this, but his son, Russell, we call him Rusty, started the Rockstar.
Rockstar, energy drink.
I do know that. Yeah. I am aware of that, yes.
Michael's a very interesting character in a way, and I got to tell you, he's very interesting. He does think a lot of himself. His son lived two blocks from where I live in Sausalito, and I'm washing my car out in the street.
Yeah.
And Michael comes in with a brand new Jaguar. This is when he was on KSFO Screeches to all and says, "How could someone like you be washing your own car?" And I said, he said, "That's very plebeian." And that's Michael.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious about
But he's entertaining.
That, like, you know,
he's definitely entertaining.
I listen to everybody. I think it's important to get a wide range there. And everybody talks about everybody, but the guy's never mentioned. I mean, he's like
you're not listening. He's mentioned.
We talked about him just a little tiny bit ago.
And he mentioned another station, and he was mentioned. I got an email indirectly from Michael through his syndicator just this week saying, hey, would you like to have Michael would like to be on your station? You want to have him? And I'm scratching my head. I'm saying, oh, my gosh. I mean, he's a great broadcaster. But we had Savage on before, and a lot of advertisers left our station just because we had him on and we were associated with intense, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say.
I guess it could be controversial, but, he covers so much more than politics. The guy's got a recipe for marinara sauce that's just out of this world, you know? You don't hear that from Rush.
Here's the thing I think that's important, is Michael Savage is an entertainer. And he really is. And sometimes he has trouble focusing on a single subject. He'll be talking about, say, the mating habits of the Watusi birds, and all of a sudden he's someplace else. Bing. And it makes it very entertaining to listen to.
It's eclectic.
It is.
It's great. Good word.
Anyhow, on the road, Paul, how long have you been listening to KSCO, and how'd you discover us?
Michael, I started Santa Cruz High School the year you graduated, and you and I have some mutual friends that we don't need to go on with here.
Oh, my
and
gosh, okay.
I when I moved to Santa Cruz in 1956, shortly after that, I mean, that was the station, that to listen to.
So you've been listening as long as anybody, really.
And if you have any pictures of Michael as a young kid, I'm sure he's willing to buy them.
I do have friends that have some old Santa Cruz High yearbooks, but I'm sure you have those as well.
Hey, Paul, thanks for calling.
Okay, great. Great show. I'll keep listening as long as I'm in range, which is pretty far, actually. I'm headed north right now. But
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Milpitas right now, and you're coming in loud and clear. And I'll hop on 680 and head over the Sierras, and I'll keep you till for another couple hours at least.
And you can always, when we get scratchy, you can always put us on your smartphone, and we come in even better. So, hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Be safe, Paul, and I hope to talk to you again. Take care. Here's Josie in Salinas. Welcome to the Saturday Special with Jim Gabbard and MZ.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey.
I just want to say that because you guys were talking about KGO, and I used to listen to KGO a lot. I really enjoyed it, especially Money Talk and Consumer Talk, and then Dr. Dina Dell, and also the lawyer,
Len Tillum, who is he's a character.
He's a total character.
Oh, my God. And sometimes I used to think he was like the original Dirty Old Man, and I'll tell you why in a bit. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, so I really like those guys. And then, the ones that ruined it, so those liberals, that to me, they seem like they hate this country. So, if they hate this country, then they should get out of here. So I love this country, so that's why I just wish that, they didn't ruin it.
No, the people they kept on are pretty far left, and they're not. See, I don't mind someone like Ernie Ward. We were talking about him, where he may be left, but at least he's intelligent and factually. They've got some people right now. This morning, I was listening to. I won't mention her name, but she had a guy from the nuclear, anti-nuke thing about nuclear power and everything else. And being in there, what she was saying was untrue, illogical, and dumb. Aside from that, how do I feel?
Please
about
feel
it?
Free to speak your mind here, Jim. So, hey, Josie, thanks for calling KSCO. Hope you'll keep listening, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Here's Craig in San Jose. Craig, welcome to KSCO. You're on.
Yeah, not knowing much about this KGO thing, I hadn't listened to the station in a long time, but I think people are just tired of the BS. They don't hear the truth. They don't have time to listen to all this. You just said, by the way, it's an honor speaking to both of you guys. I think that, you said that they still have left wingers on there. I bet the ratings are still going to go downhill because maybe they don't have to pay them anything, okay? Maybe they could afford it. I don't really know, but I think that's why, their heyday is over with. And you said Michael Savage, he's entertaining. Yeah, he's entertaining, but I'd like to know from you, Jim, if you had to listen to maybe one guy where you can get the most accuracy and truth of what's going out there in the world, who would you pick? I would pick Michael Savage myself.
Oh, I wouldn't at all. I know him too well. And I just know him too well. But probably, and I hate to say this, but I think of the talk show host, and I think that's why he gets paid what he paid, is I think Ron Owens is about the most balanced I think I've heard. I've never really quite felt that he was left, right, or whatever. He seems to, with the way he handles his guests and everything, he's very objective, and he doesn't try to, he's just right in the middle and common sense.
Yeah, hey, Jim, but Jim, do you think balance is reality? I don't think, see, people always say balance, but I don't think that equals reality. Yeah, I like to hear all the points of views, and I like guys that come on there and you know, give the argument against what they're talking about and dispute it. I mean, that's where you get the guys with the honesty and integrity. They'll give you the best argument against their case. And, you know, well, a lot of these other hosts, you know, they just totally ignore it. Like Mrs. Werling's talk, that recording I just heard. I mean, she's right on the money. Everybody knows that the media, if they don't want you to know something, they just don't talk about it. That's what they
do. Yeah, see, but here's the one thing I've always done at KGO too, and this is me as a talk show host was a little different than my colleagues at the station, is I would work at, rather than disrespect somebody or yell and scream at them, I would work with logic. And this is, I guess, the engineering background. I'd work with logic, and most of the time I'd get them to let me give you a good example. One time I was driving in and I was doing 7 to 10 for Gene Burns, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And I started to listen to this religious station, which is the Big 610 now. And the guy was talking about how the Bible is the irrefutable word of God and has to be taken literally, word for word, comma for comma, without raising questions. So I opened the program with that, and I turned around and I said, anybody who believes in the Bible literally, word for word, you got a problem. Of course, the phone lines all light up, and this guy calls me on the phone, and he says he's very disappointed. He's listened to me on the radio for years, and how I'm a heathen, going to go to hell, and so forth. And I said, well, no. I said, you've got to realize that the Bible's had a lot of people's hands in it, you know. So I had him get a Bible, and I asked him if he had a daughter, and yes, she's 16, and he started, I said, and I gave him, it was one of the Old Testaments, Leviticus something. I said, read it to me. So the guy starts to read it on the air, okay? And he turns around, and in there is a daughter who did something, wore glasses or something. She had to be stoned to death. So the guy is reading, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's arguing to me that is absolutely verbatim, that has to be accepted. And he stops when stoned to death, pause. I said, well, continue. Well, you can't believe everything you read, and hangs up. Uh-huh. Okay, to me that was good radio because I got him to think.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I have one. I haven't listened to Ron Owens a long time. I mean, do you really get the truth about Barack Hussein Obama from a guy like Ron Owens? I don't know what he's saying about him these days, but I rather doubt it.
There's other people like a Bill Wattenberg. That's what was good about KGO. I turned around, and I've been very critical of Obama, and I turned around and I said, you know, I voted for him at the time because I thought McCain was too old, and I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat, and I really thought that when he came in that he would follow, and especially with Hillary as Secretary of State, that he'd be more of a moderate. Because I looked at, like, Bill Clinton, I thought he was a pretty good president. He had an indiscretion in the Oval Office, but, you know, that aside from that, I thought he did a really good job as president of the country. Obama, since then, has basically, he ruled, actually, he's not a leader, and he doesn't, and he's split, and he's paralyzed this country. And Congress, you know, I was a lobbyist, like I said before, in the 70s to 80s. I'd spend 10 days every month working the Hill. I've had lunch with multiple presidents, and I've got to tell you, now we're not talking about what we're talking about, but this country's in trouble. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks a lot for all your time, guys.
Maybe you'll do a show on this station. Yeah? Then you can talk about all that stuff. There'll be plenty of time. Hey, thanks, Craig, for your call to the Saturday special.
All right, thanks,
Mike. Appreciate it. There goes Craig in San Jose. This is a piece. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm entertained by part of this, by all, but I'm going to read this part of the email from Steve in Watsonville. Since I control my dial, I can always escape Taliaferro's stuffed shirt delivery, which is reminiscent of the pompous character Ted Baxter on the old Mary Tyler Moore show. I'm not overly sensitive to pomposity, sometimes being able to sit through an entire Rush Limbaugh show. It's Taliaferro's divisive and abusive content that leaves him unlistenable for me. When Kay asked him to stop yelling at her and he shouted back, "This is how I talk," I realized who else he reminds me of. Michael Savage, except from a left-wing direction. Taliaferro and Savage are the Tweedledum and Tweedledumber of talk radio, each believing that a screaming and divisive style somehow passes for communication. Though I regret the loss of talk show hosts on KGO, I appreciate the possibility that KSCO might benefit from the situation. However, the one good thing I saw in the KGO massacre was the possible silencing of a demagogue like Taliaferro. Sadly, when or if Taliaferro comes to KSCO, there will now be no refuge for me on KGO. Hey, perhaps you could put him in the Rush Limbaugh slot. Then I can simply switch to KSFO or that Fresno station when necessary. Limbaugh is a clown, but at least he's sometimes a funny clown. Taliaferro is always about as funny as the proverbial turd in the punch bowl.
You use that word on the radio?
Wait a minute, isn't that okay?
Yeah, it is, I guess.
Okay, good. Hope
anyway,
so.
Do you know something? Do you know Rush Limbaugh started, he was on KFBK in Sacramento, and originally he was left wing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
And
the air.
Yeah. And
Jeff Christie was his name. Now, I don't think he was using that by then, but I'm not sure.
He worked at KGO for a while.
Worked at KGO? Yeah. Mickey tells me the story. The biggest mistake he made was telling Rush Limbaugh that he wasn't going to go anywhere in syndication.
The guy who was syndicating him at the time was Ed McLaughlin,
right,
who had been the predecessor general manager of KGO before,
right,
Mickey.
Right, right. I'll be damned. Hey, the pilot in command here, Nikki, is reminding me that we have a commercial break here. So let's take that and invite you to stay tuned. There's another 10 minutes left to this program. Then we got a great perspective show coming up afterwards. So please stay tuned to your favorite radio station. With there's more with MZ.
Can I say KSCO 1080?
Please.
AM.
Yeah. did I say the wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just wanted to say it. That's all.
Say it again.
KSCO AM 1080.
God, that's great. From the same voice that said...
Wait. With 10,000 watts.
And that's the same voice that said, stereo. Coffee. KOFY. Stereo. TV 20, San Francisco. Okay, Nikki, take it away.
Have fun. Do good. Honor our youth. It's the North versus the South this Saturday, but everybody is going to win. Hello, Michael Olson here with an invitation for you to help celebrate the class of 2012 by attending the Lions Bowl High School All-Star Football Game Saturday, 4 p.m. at Cabrillo College's Carl Connolly Stadium. The sun will shine when high school seniors from the North County meet the seniors from the South County for some no-holds-barred high school football. Enjoy performances from Harbor High and Monte Vista Christian cheerleaders, halftime show put on by Pop Warner League youngsters, and a great snack bar put on by the Harbor High girls golf team. Get in on all the fun Saturday at 4 p.m. as the North meets the South in the Lions Bowl High School All-Star Football Game at Cabrillo College's Carl Connolly Stadium. And hey, everybody wins at the Lions Bowl because 100% of the proceeds go right back into the community.
My name is Mickey Phipps, Executive Chef at Crown Cafe and Deli Catering, powered by Scotts Valley Market. The reason we opened a deli in Capitola is because we wanted to be more mid-county so we can reach more audiences and target our catering business and really focus on our catering business. So it made it a lot easier for us to be in mid-county. Some of the popular sandwiches that we have are going to be the Mountain Man, which is a tri-tip with onion rings, bacon, and all the fixings. It's got barbecue sauce on it. And the other one is the Irish, corned beef, coleslaw on a nice marble dry with a nice Thousand Island dressing. All our sandwiches are pretty popular. And we also offer salads. Don't forget that we have outdoor seating and we also have a nice barbecue where we barbecue every day. Nice tri-tip, skirt steak, chicken, and even sausages. Crown Cafe Deli and Catering is located at 3555 Suite G, Claire's Street in Capitola in the Brown Ranch Marketplace.
Our local Red Cross responds to over 2 home fires every week here in the Monterey Bay Area, and electrical problems are a leading cause of home fires. Hello, I'm Chris Jensen with JM Electric. One cause of home electrical fires is degradation, which simply means that your electrical wiring and connections have become old and worn out. Prime conditions for starting a fire in your home. JM Electric's current safe inspection can determine if there is degraded wiring inside your walls. To see if your home can benefit from a current safe inspection, call JM Electric today for a free, no-obligation assessment, 422-7819, or jamelectric.com. Now a word from our friends at your local Red Cross.
Hello, I'm Rita Chick, CEO of the Santa Cruz County Chapter of the American Red Cross. There were 117 home fires in the Monterey Bay area last year and 70 similar disasters in Santa Cruz County. A lot of families needed our help. You can help them by donating your time and money to your Santa Cruz and Monterey County Red Cross chapters. We thank you, and your friends and neighbors thank you.
Breaking my heart, you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving. But if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
Sure, so we're in the final home stretch of the Saturday special today. We have one caller here, Don and Salinas. I think we'll take Don's call. It'll probably be the last call of the day. Hey, Don, welcome to KSCO with Jim Gabbard and MZ. You're on the air.
I've got an opinion on why KGO went downhill, but before that, I wanted to say Ray Taliaferro's voice reminds me of that guy on Lost in Space. You remember the one?
Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith.
Yeah. He reminds me
Everybody
so much of him.
Everybody keeps beating up on poor Ray. You know, I philosophically, I disagreed with him on the radio totally, but he's not a bad guy.
No, he's a nice guy. He's
I could sit down and have a glass of wine with him.
So could I. And I think everybody could, actually. But that's a show, right? A lot of that is a show,
yeah.
Right?
Nobody talks like that
in real life, I don't think.
So it must be a show. All right, sorry, Dan. Didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. Well, now my reasoning on why KGO went downhill is the fact that you guys thought that Ray Taliaferro and Carell were liberals, and Ron Owens and Rothman were toward the middle of the road. When Rothman and Owens are Walter Cronkite, Brian Williams liberals. Okay, they are liberal, very much so, and it's very easy to hear it over the radio. When a caller calls in, they have to run a gauntlet if they're a conservative to prove their viewpoint, where if they come out with a liberal view, their ideas are bolstered and helped by the host.
I think there's partial truth to that. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. And also banishing Dr. Wattenberg to the nighttime as if he was an Alec Jones was a very bad move. He doesn't go well with nutty people with the aluminum hat crown. He's more for college, university people and curious people. I mean, I think he's a gold mine that really could be mined well in the afternoon.
But you know, in the 12 years I worked at KGO, Bill's on always from 10 to 1 a.m. always for the past umpteen years. Even when they were so dominant in the market, it was unbelievable. He does it just as a sideline.
But the wonderful thing about KGO's nighttime signal is it blankets half the United States.
Bill's voice, I wish I had that voice, but he talks about from Alaska to the Mexican border down and all parts everywhere. But, you are right that Ron tends to be a little liberal, but it's intelligent liberal. It's not this dribble type stuff. In other words, it makes for good. I guess overall, with the exception of Bill, I was the most conservative person on that station, and I consider myself a liberal Republican or a conservative Democrat.
Were you ever on KSFO?
No. But I'm getting older, this happens with age. When I was going to Stanford, I was convinced the Korean War was created by U.S. Steel to sell bullets, and as time went on, I changed. And I wanted to tell you one thing very important. I had an uncle, Chuck Teague, who was a congressman from Ventura County, and I was bitching about how the country was going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
And he turned around to me. Here I'm a college student, and he said, "Who's your congressman?" I didn't know.
Well, can I
said,
ask
you
one,
no
one,
reason
one thing?
Bitch. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a saying that if you're young and not a liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're old and not a conservative, you don't have a brain.
I've heard that.
I like that.
I've heard that. That's very good. Hey,
Don. We're out of time. Well,
I want to thank you for calling. And, it's been a great
call. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Before you bought KSCO and everything else, what was its format in those days? Was it music or?
In the 5 years before, they changed formats like people change underwears and socks. There was no specific stability.
Primarily music-based when Fuller Jeffries owned it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we turned it into talk. And
anyway, I want to thank you very much. And it's really amazing and interesting how many people have tuned in KSCO with the KGO thing. It's called Manna from Heaven or something like that.
Thank you, Jim, for being with us. Hopefully
it's been a great pleasure.
Again, either as a host or a guest or whatever. Appreciate it.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's CNN News.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Flash flooding triggered by a powerful tropical storm has killed more than 400 people in the southern Philippines. Officials say some 100,000 people have been forced from their homes. The country's Red Cross chairman, Richard Gordon, says this should be a wake-up call for the country to better prepare for future disasters.
It's a clarion call, a heads up to government as well as our people to make sure that the places that they settle to are safe, because you can't live beside rivers and beside ravines that can easily be affected by a landslide or a flash flood.
Officials are investigating reports that an entire village was swept away. While the House still has to approve it, the Senate today managed to pass a 2-month extension of the payroll tax cut and unemployment benefits. President Obama says the extension makes the holidays a little brighter for millions of Americans.
We've got a lot more work to do for the people who sent us here, but today I'm glad that both parties in Congress came together, and I want to thank them for ensuring that as we head into the holidays, folks at home don't have to worry about their taxes going up.
Also today, the Senate approved a $1 trillion spending plan that funds the government for the rest of the fiscal year, preventing a government shutdown. The House passed the same measure yesterday. Now it needs a signature from President Obama. Texas Congressman Ron Paul slammed two of his fellow Republican presidential candidates in an appearance on NBC's Tonight Show with Jay Leno last night. Here's what he said about Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann.
She doesn't like Muslims. She hates Muslims.
A lot.
She wants to go get them.
And Paul says former Senator Rick Santorum can't stop talking about gay people and Muslims. Temple leads Wyoming 14-0 in the New Mexico Bowl. Later today, it's Ohio versus Utah State in the Potato Bowl. This is CNN Radio.
You can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We have got some sunny skies today, high of 66 with light winds. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear, low of 38 and light winds. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 61, light winds. Out on the Monterey Bay, the east winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming south in the afternoon. The wind waves are going to be about 3 feet, and they're going to become less than 2 later in the afternoon with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 16 seconds. And tonight out there, southwest winds 10 knots, becoming east after midnight. Wind waves are going to be less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 16 seconds. And on Sunday, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, and we've got a west swell of about 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds. For your current temperatures, it's 55 degrees in Watsonville. In Monterey, it's 61, and Salinas is at 53. We're at 59 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, let's see what we got going on. Looks like there is a traffic collision reported just a few minutes ago. This is on southbound 101 at 10th Street, Hollister-Gilroy area. Looks like it is a two-car crash, and CHP isn't reportedly there yet. I don't really have much else going on for you. But if you see something out there that I missed, give me a call, 475-1080, for your King of the Hill traffic update. Up next, we've got Perspectives. Stay tuned. The official time is 12:05 and 22 seconds on this Saturday, December 17th. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'm your host, and joining me in the studio, special guest host Dr. David Biles, and our very special guest, Dr. Thomas Levy. Thanks for joining us today.
Are you with us, Dr. Levy? 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, yeah. 1, 2.
We'll get him here.